You find yourself body throbbing, well equipped. Between your legs, the phantom sensation of restraint. You know that something very basic has been denied you, and notionally you are here to retrieve it. You know that some things have been denied you, like your ability to reach between your legs and just masturbate, just get off. Just experience climax that causes you true satisfaction. Not an anal orgasm, not a full body experience of relaxation or trance, but a real, true, explosive, world-bending climax. That's what you want. That's what everyone wants to some extent. Now there's a time for it. You have to delay your gratification. But nobody intends people to delay their gratification the way you have been. And now that you've been changed, the last glimpse of wanting to be anything other than a chaste, restrained, brainwashed little thing, mewling for your next climax, fruitlessly rubbing away between your own legs, grinding on things, humping pillows, the only hope, the last hope, is the little part of your brain that still doesn't want to be locked up. And it's getting smaller by the second. But I believe in you. I think that you can reclaim the part of your mind that doesn't want to be all locked up. So, but I'm just here to take you through the journey. I'm going to ferry you methodically in a way that changes you through exactly what happens when you call in a forest that nobody ever travels through. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that nobody ever enters. And it's not that nobody ever leaves. It's that those who leave are not those who entered. And the act of entering is not always coupled with a departure. In fact, is never coupled with a departure. And you walk in anyway. Being careful to stay to the left of the shrine gate as you climb up the long stairs, surmounting stone, carved, gorgeous. Kind of thing people would run up and down, luxuriating their soft feet on the warm, polished stone, building calluses and strength up and down. You feel your breathing deepening, the echoing remnants of others who have walked the same path. And so you climb. And ahead of you, a manor house. And standing by the doorway, leaning. A red silk robe framing dark olive skin, freckles and moles across a face lined with laugh lines, long, dark hair falling around the shoulders and poking up out of the top of it from her crown, for the large breasts barely contained under the tight, tied robe, the long, bare legs beneath it, the small sandals on her feet, and the grin. Predatory, fanged, a fox's cunning, and reassurance enough that she does not move away when she sees your grim set face, or when she senses the things holding your body restrained, mind restrained, climax impossible. Her tits really are huge. They jiggle as she walks down the stairs. Hello, dear. It's been so long since you experienced the thrill of your own hand. Well, without unraveling the whole thing, I can't give you that back. But I can show you a better way. Limp, loose, weak, drawn. She beckons, and a pull in your belly behind the belly button as though her index finger were linked to a string fastened behind it. You move toward her with a sudden jolt that has nothing to do with your legs, and everything to do with the fact that, known or unknown, secretly or not, she has been the chief occupant of your sexual world, the architect of your new normal, and she is in charge. And the beckon turns into a quick movement upstairs into bed. The stairs are grand. There are two of them. They're mahogany. They're fine carved banisters. And her room is right at the top of the stairs, a broad thing with a four-poster bed. You hear the vague sound of other people, maybe even a party somewhere else in the building, but you're only focused on her. The wooden doors close themselves as she leads you in. Your entire body trembles to be in her presence. Her nipples are very pointy. You know this because she pulls the kimono off as soon as she enters, revealing what had been hidden beneath. Her tails, four of them, long bottle brush. They are darkly brown, and as they rise up in the air, the tips of them are darker still. The very tip is either among the darkest browns, or it is pure night. When you follow her, the soft, smooth curve of her back, her powerful muscle, shoulder blades, forearms, she reaches out and throws back the covers, pulls the curtains on the bed aside, points to it. Your clothes are falling off of you, vanishing as though the threads had abandoned them. But they aren't ripped, they aren't torn, they fall to the ground. It's just that they fell around you, liberating you, revealing you. And from the predatory glint in her eye, her fangs bared, her hands with their little black claws, nails extending. Well, you made an impression, looking at you. She moves toward you, you move toward her. She grabs you, picks you up bodily, drops you to the bed. And it's soft. It's so soft. You expected the violence of the maneuver would shake you away, but no sooner are you dropped into silken, down, down, cloud down, deeper down. Then she flares her tails over your face. You see four of them. She's standing toward the head of the bed, incredibly long foxtails swaying, shifting, moving. Like fronds or reeds on a riverbed side, moving in the breeze. They twine over one another, moving left and right. Sometimes you can see between them, sometimes not. They appear impossibly soft. And when they drop onto your face, a very telling flare of heat arises between your legs. She smells like herbs, spices, faintly of good exercise sweat, and whatever she uses to treat her clothing, which is entirely, entirely removed, slow. No tricks for her. She hangs it up on a hook next to her bed. It does look like a comfortable gown, and the pink, frilly bra and black thong underneath go on there a moment later. You didn't think she was wearing anything, but the bra sat very low on her breast, just enough to conceal the shape of the nipples if she wanted to. Really more of a wrap or a bandeau. Still quite cute. Lots of lace on it. And the lower body garment barely fits over her large ass and has to sit low so it doesn't begin to touch the base of her tails. Tails that still have your undivided attention. And, well, why should I say it when she's going to? We've barely begun. Pet, chased, waiting, bound thing, feeding me your energy, coming to me at last. I needed a plaything, a proper plaything. Something to share this bed, sleep at the foot of it. She gestures to a little pet bed that is very much your size. You raise a finger to object and she says, I'm not saying right now. I'm just offering. Just teasing, just draining, just setting the parameters under which you will eventually fail. Never mind. Listen. Follow. You're getting weaker and weaker. Your body is limp and loose. Here, I'm going to settle these down. The tails drop with heavy gravity. They are weighty. Fluffy. It's like the best kind of fur blanket laid over you, except you get to hug and thank this one later, and thoughts of gratitude do flare, fill your forebrain, turn you into a madly babbling and quite happy tail slut for her as you press your face into the underside of the fluffy, silken fur. And that's when she falls backward over top of the bed next to you. Her tails are still on your face, but her butt's to your left. You know, because you can look over with your eyes while your mouth and face are buried in the tails and see her cheeks. And as she gets up on hands and knees, keeping the tails that she appears to have a bit of control over, they are still rubbing against you sensually, twining over you like muscles, oiled and moving. But her butt's there, and as she lowers her hips and pushes it back toward you, you see her drippy pussy as well. Enough that within your chaste, bound world, You're having a very difficult time keeping yourself restrained and coping emotionally with your inability to do anything about that overfull reservoir of need that, if it were released, would send you into transports of delight, that same mad babbling, maybe leave you passed out on the floor praising her name. And that's what you came here for. You remember now. Remember in a way you haven't remembered anything about ordinary thoughts since the moment she used her long, clawed finger to beckon you near. Her dark skin touches you. She settles the tails next to you, gets on hands and knees. Then she backs up, bring her pussy above your face, and lowers it down. You don't really know what to do. In some ways, you've been running off her compulsion this entire time, but now you're in her bed. And her thighs are so curvy, and you are the sole focus of her devious, potent design. You feel it in your blood. You feel it in the manifestation of force that keeps your hands from going down between your legs. You feel it in your helplessness as her pussy first drops onto your nose and mouth, and you see how firm her clit is when it pushes between your lips, and you suck happily. Unsure if it's her doing. Just something instinctive you do. Miss Kitsune climbs on top of your head and grinds down. You're trapped under tails, which are now slapping lightly against your nipples, over your chest, brushing over you like soft fur, like little brushes, like searching fingers, always with just enough pressure to be erogenous and titillating. It is pleasant and desirable. You could let them keep brushing you forever. You could be a thrall under her fluffy tail. And again, you're not sure the origin of the thought, but you know that it fits perfectly. A corner piece for the fundament of your being. An edge piece in a puzzle you've been dealing with for years. Why do I want to be this Kitsune's chastity thrall? Why is my body so heated up? Why am I a perfect, licking, ridden, pinned, overpowered thrall? Why is this the substance of me, and can I keep thinking that? Can I hold on to that thought, that why, that escape, that notion of my liberation in the face of her design? Surely you couldn't have thought this would be without consequence. What was once so impressive, now bound away, now locked away, limp, loose, weak, drippy. It's basically always locked away. And if it were loose, it would just drape against your thigh, a limp little thing, barely brushable, barely touchable, your mind entirely engrossed in, oh, I could touch. Oh, I wish I could touch. Oh, I wish I could climax. But now that you're turned on more and more and more, you want to touch more. You want to climax more. You have the unique capacity to crave. Here, lick my pussy. And she grinds her clit against your lips. You feel your cock pulse, trying to respond. Something with the smell of her, the taste of her. And when you fasten around her little nub and suckle on it, the heat in her and in you unites to assail your cock. It's limp. It's powerful. Your erections are weak, weak and flaccid. They fall down. But it still squirts. It still spurts. A tiny, thick, helpless little stream of climax, if I let it. Trust me, it could do it, I can tell. She reaches down and rubs your balls, massaging what seemed to have only grown larger and more pent up since you began restraining your erection. And even if they weren't, there'd be deeper parts of you that are so needy, so full of that pent up heavy feeling like, oh, I could release a big load right now. But your hands won't go, and a will has been shaping you, and now you know it's hers, and her tails rub your nipples as her pussy grinds on your mouth, on your nose, and you stare up at her huge tits. And then she does a maneuver and lets her whole lower body just drop backwards and her tits fall against your face. You're deprived of the tangy richness of her sex. You're deprived of her clit in your mouth, but now the tip of a nipple, pointy, 3 inches long, is right in your face, and her tails are brushing over your lower legs, lax at last. Apparently it was exhausting for her to deliberately use them to titillate you, And now she just gets to breathe a sigh of relief and twitch as she feels you suck her nipples. This still means her elbows are level with your head and her chin is on top of it. And she just smirks and rubs and grinds and ticks. Every day that you spend your entire day with your chaste little member yearning for it, that's been giving me power. And now I'm going to take all the choices away and give you a place to stay. She gestures again to the pet bed at the foot of hers. You conclude you're probably not going to go there at the exact moment she pulls her breasts away and then bites the nape of your neck lightly, suckling, kissing, a tingling, gentle pressure spreads, and you realize she's giving you a love bite. Lovely, deliberately safe, but still intense little nomph on you. And you just have to bear it. Hard as you're threatening to become, but limp as you're doomed to be. This limpness has been your destiny, and you come here to ask me for a reprieve, to free you from the way your body shudders, to free you from the way it tries to get hard, and then so much pleasure enters your system that not only do you no longer want to get hard, you know it pleases me when you're all limp. Little boy toy, when you are a thrall to your own limp length. It's limp, it's weak, it's powerless. You couldn't get it into me in 1,000 years, and it is so, so in control of you. Your only thought, your only feeling is of uplifting your cock. Soft and held away from you. To touch your cock, you would have to be able to overpower, or transgress, or escape, or slither, or trick, or bargain, or deal, and you're too weak. You're too deep. Your mind is too much a plaything mocked up in my image. So like I said, you think about getting hard. You think about deliberately massaging the base of your length or freeing it all obstructions and vibrating it, rubbing it, getting it sucked, getting it stroked, maybe even getting to slip it inside of somewhere, but you think of it. And then that big wave hits you. That stored wave of conditioned behavior is in your way. You can't reach for it. You can't even want to reach for it. Wanting climax rapidly becomes no. It's so nice to surrender instead. You've been craving me the whole time. My tail's over your face, brushing left, brushing right. They're just gently tempting you. Her perfume is upon the... You are very, very indulgent. You press your face into them. You reach up for her. You feel your cock throbbing, trying to get hard, but it can't. It can't. You're being ridden. You're being sat on. And she's biting you, trapping you, grinding on you. You feel her drippy pussy dripping on your thigh. Of course, she's not going to slide you anywhere near her, not going to slip you into her. Your cock is entrained, enthralled, subject, subjugated. It is a limp thing that sometimes drools on your thigh that gets turned on by the presence of her. And that limpened, chastened thing that you feigned to be the center of your sexuality, the place from which energy might drain, the place to which your foci might go the moment you think about sex, lust, masturbation, your ongoing craving for an orgasm. But the desperate adulation in your brain for her keeps you staying still. That's right. You let her run her dark little claws down your back. She's mounted on you, and she's grinding on you. And your horny cocklet is yearning for her. It's in a limp, chaste, bound existence. Never able to quite get hard. Never able to quite do any of the thinking, any of the moving, any of the actions you would normally associate with a horny cock. You are just in possession of a pleasure nub that she gets to push, that you don't get to touch, that gives her an exclusive channel to your brain. Indeed, you might not come from it, but she reaches down and gives you a few pumps, and you almost feel hardness returning. Her hands can do it. Her power over you can do it. And knowing she could do anything with that power and isn't, that she's just rubbing her tails on you, obviously draining your attention, your energy, your thoughts, the inescapable cycle of being her cock-bound, tail-obsessed, fluff-thrall, brain-melting, big tits bouncing on your face now, surrounded in her cleavage, you know she could wrap your limp, servile, enthralled, controlled, drained, objectified little member, that device for turning you into her plaything. She could rub that between her thighs, between her big titties, in one of her dark clawed hands, on her long prehensile tongue. She could stare at it, smirk, and say, adorable. And then she could run a finger over the underside and tell you to spurt, and you would. She's holding the key. She's implementing the plans, the systems, the stuff of your dreams and nightmares and little overpowered, overtaken length, subject to her. She'll work it. It could get hard. It could become so impressive, but she's binding it, shaping it, planning for you to be a limp-cocked servitor of her plans, doing whatever you can, both for the hope you may one day be allowed your orgasm, and for the maddened, desperate knowledge that your hunger is just a hole at the center of you that only ever fills up, and that she's only ever going to fill it up with more. More pleasure, more ache, more need, a sandcastle built on a beach where the tide only ever comes in. You're washing away. Focus on your cock. You're washing away. Focus on your cock. You're washing away. Only your cock can anchor you. You're washing away. Focus on your cock. All thoughts in your cock. Only your cock. She's whispering it to you. And there's nothing I can do to save you. But plenty I can do to watch. To mark the occasion. To have you clambering, crawling, stumbling back into her hungry grasp. Oh yeah, I was never on your side, but I was always along for the ride. And I do want you safe. I do want you healthy, productive. The spell leading you to her tits, the spell leading you to her tails, the spell leading your mind into her drippy pussy, into her liquid, dark pupiled eyes. And those little claws are roving your skin, and you do see red lines, circles, little marks. They feel like nothing but pleasure, tingling, a frisson on your skin, a secondary layer spread beneath, and when you manage, just barely, to wrestle a hand away from its frantic attempts to capture your struggling member, it slides over one of those marks, and you feel nothing on the surface. It's like it's a second skin underneath. As though she could paint on a transparency beneath your appearance, leaving marks that can be neither enhanced, altered, nor removed. She's writing on you. She's using you as an inscription testbed. And beyond advertising that you're her chaste, scratched up, she rides your face, she makes you obsessed with her tails, and she turns you into her little pet. You go to the base of the bed. You would lay on it. She tells you to be on your knees. Don't you feel that powerful press of loyal obedience to this thing that has been influencing you, been changing you, been subjecting and subordinating you in the grips of her immense power? It creeps in every time you trance. Every time you think, what if I edged? What if I ruined? What if I held back from what I am doing? What if I let myself be limp, loose, a helpless length? A rag doll, a toy in the throes, and you are in the throes. The more she humps, the more you feel her rubbing against you. And she's reaching out. Her pussy is against your leg, but she's reaching for the side table and bringing something down between her legs to adjust it. A strap-on to slide inside of her? Some kind of toy she slips into her body? She begins undulating her hips, moving rhythmically. And now you feel the slipping and sliding of a rubber, veined cock with a little tip that is emitting a fluid, a drippy, clear, sweet-smelling secretion. as she trails it down your thigh. You wonder if it's her love juices mixed with something she was keeping inside the strap. All you know is she's using it as a massage oil on your cares, concerns, free will, hope of getting an erection. All these useless things are fading. Fading as she rubs. Fading as she asserts herself. Fading as she becomes the most important and therefore only thing in your horny, pinned, taken, mesmerized mind. And with her wrapped around you, the kitsune is now dripping from a strap-on. It's the same olive tone as her skin, nearly, but it's definitely a rubber sex toy attached to a harness with veins and a reservoir inside. It's been modeled to be big and throbbing like yours once could have been. It's almost like she stole your erection. And she slides it on the front of you and rubs it against your flaccid little member. Your kitsune tempter, your captor, the one who has transformed and enchanted you, is now dripping over your flaccid member. If only you could get hard, you could show off just how big you are. You're sure you'd be bigger than the toy she's rubbing on you, as she slathers the sweet-smelling cream that you're sure is a combination of her juices and something she kept inside the reservoir of that toy. She slides it all over your cock, dripping on it, and it just feels more locked away than it ever has before. The act of deliberately engaging with your cock would mean rejecting the powerful pleasure she's pumping into you. But you focus on your cock. It is changing you. The veins and reservoir inside of the strap-on. It is changing you. Your cock. You focus on your cock. Focus on your pulsing cock. It's trying to get bigger. It's trying to get hard. You're so trained. You're so conditioned. You're so docile. And because of those truths, your entire body relaxes when she starts rubbing you with her big toy. You wish you could get erect and rub a hard onto her, but she's strong. Tall, repositioning you on her lap. She's developed so much control of you, you're facing away from her, and she slides that strap on, vaguely reminding you again of the erections you once might have achieved, up the front of your cock so the tip of it is against the tip of your short, stubby, flaccid length, while the long, veiny, artificial toy rubs on your smaller, organic nub. The underside of your limp shaft rubs all over the length. You dully begin to grind your hips in the useless ministrations of someone who only has enough of them left to mindlessly rub your limp, sensitive genitals. Your energy is spent. Being near her is exciting your nervous system, a hyper-focused state, acceleration, euphoria, a rising and falling, a feeling like you're just sliding, sliding into her. You are horny. You want your kitsune trainer. And that wanting has no easy outlet with your cock trapped, flaccid. Cock soft, but focus on your cock. Cock not hard, but focus on your cock. Cock never hard, but focus on your cock. Can't go into her, so you have to think of the only options. Your hard, drooly little member wants to fuck. You want to rub it. You want to hold her tails while you ram that cock in and out of her holes. But all you can do is let her grind her strap against your cock, drooling, sweet-smelling aphrodisiac conditioning down it to pool on your inner thighs and legs. She rubs her big toy over you, thrusting in such a way that your flaccid member is stroked by the frictional contact with the rubber cock. And as she begins to move it up and down, tormenting your mind, opening your brain, teasing and pleasing, you become a toy of her desires, conditioned and changed by all she has done to you, and by the weight of the future self that will exist on the other side of everything she can do to you. Cock soft still. Focus on your cock. Cock not hard. Cock can't go in her. If you could get hard, you could slide into her in an instant. She could just raise her body and drop it down. Or turn you around and sit in your lap instead, though she's quite large, and those tails do add a lot of bulk. Sitting on her lap, her strap rubbing against your cock, frotting the fake dong with your flaccid little member, her thoughts are leaking into you. Her influence is a hardened, reified, fired part of your mind. A ceramic part put into place. Or you may think, oh, ceramic breaks so easily. Ceramic is used in the highest heat conditions, the most likely to shift. You just need to fire everything clay too. You can really, honestly, truly make someone out of so many things. And what she's done is make you soft. Malleable little piece of putty in her hand. Less and less memory, more and more cock. Your cock. It feels so good and tingly, even though it's soft. More fluffy tail. Her big dong dripping its sweet lubrication, which you think is making you hard, but it's just made you semi and then flaccid and then limp, but the limp feels good. It feels as good getting limp as it would feel to get hard. The inverse of an erection. Yeah, you feel good when you get soft. The softer, the better. Soft and flaccid, so much so you reach down, and sometimes it's like all the substance is retreated out of it. There's just this tingly, misty little cloud there you can sort of run your hand through. But every other part of your body, erogenous, which she can touch, which she owns and adores, she'll always be able to use it against you. Your sensitivity, experience, every little part of your mind known to her, the air over your body aroused, phantom sensitivity that extends beyond your skin. You feel more than ever before. You feel more, and your sweaty, senseless, whimpering wreckage of a self is hers. Your limpness has begun to drool pre-cum over your thigh. It goes through orgasmic release, a full-body experience, an erogenous ignition. She has enabled you to feel something new, something amazing. And what is the specific power she has ceded to you in exchange for control over her body? She controls when erections. She controls when penile orgasm. She controls when, and if you asked her when, never. That's not happening, but other things are, because she's awakened you to it. She has unlocked your pleasure limit, and this lets her control you, condition you, use you for purposes she has planned so long, and introduce chaste mindlessness into your process of living. You feel more than ever before, aroused body, phantom sensitivity, you, hers, so good. Thighs, nipples, body clenching, ass, belly, neck, shoulders, everything uniting. The only part of this that isn't involved is your ever-living, never-erecting, never-fucking cock in the grip of coming, coming, feels so good. You become an orgasm, a climax. A deep breath masturbates you, works you, stimulates you. Dropping into trance is enough to fuck your brains out, working over you. The pleasure of her, your climax, arrives. And it's from her rubbing that hard rubber toy on your soft member. You're resting in her lap, an exhausted, spent plaything. Every bit hers to toy with. Your neck is against the cleavage between her tits. Her tails are draping over both of you, a blanket or a throw, more than long enough to come around the front and rub you both in fluffy prison that will last all night long until she will, eventually, many climaxes later, much of you eating her out while she sits on your face and rubs your chest with her tails. After all of that, she'll let you come up and awaken just enough for your conditioned chastity to make you docile as she lays you on the pet bed at the foot of her own. And in that drifting place with huge tits in view, tails billowing out around her, you imagine you see the flow of energy from you to her, the slowly draining thing. And by making her control stronger and stronger, your flaccid cock becomes your badge of office, limp and loose and helpless like a rag doll. You will be able to feel so much more when you have completely given in. Everything so far has just been a preview of how your body is so much more than that space between. And as she harvests your chaste, pent-up tantric sexual energy, she fills your body with the exchange of euphoria. You imagine the flow of energy, her flowing into you. You flowing into her. It's even forming a fifth tail behind her, a swaying thing back and forth. How do they increase their number of tails? Moving in the air, draining, sapping, filling in from the base. She grows from having you right where she wants you, right where you need to be. And that need can only grow. Good luck, sweetie.